this matters. It's so easy, easy step for you. Take it easy, easy step for you. Nice and easy, easy step for you. But you don't see my eyes. You don't see my eyes. Suit, I wear it as I come out of battle. It kept me safe and warm, but I think that I'll throw in the towel. Well, I stood there and I watched the door, but I'm not going there anymore. And if you keep your eyes checked, you might see why all this matters. It's so easy, easy set for you. Take it.
So I noticed that this camera has one distinct downside from my old camera. You can hear the motor in this camera way more clearly. This like whiny grinding buzz. So if you can hear that, I apologize. Maybe I can figure out some way to fix that, but besides like hooking in... Oh, isn't that the worst? I hate listening back. Stop it! I hate listening back to my shows and hearing that shit. People's shitty fucking brakes just like pierces through your brain. God damn it. So anyway, besides all the noise, what is wrong with that guy's fucking brakes? Are you kidding me? Stop. All right. Besides the normal noise of the city, I apologize for the additional noise of this recorder. If I was to, like, attach a microphone to this motherfucker, that, can you hear that squeaking? That's this guy just inching towards the stoplight. Every time his car moves in any fucking capacity, it makes that noise. Move again, motherfucker. Come on, let's hear your shitty car. There it is. What a piece of shit. Drive away. Yeah, drive the fuck away. Christ, man. Yeah, so if I attached a microphone, that would solve things. But then I have to walk around holding a microphone, and that's awkward and weird. Anyway, I just came out to Spooky's place to pick up his mail. He's off in Australia. And on the way here, it's like, well, the F train is a nightmare, because it's like, oh, God, stuck underground on a train for like a fucking hour. But then there's a part where the F train goes above ground, and there's like a chain link fence where if you look out, you can see the Statue of Liberty. And I come out to this neighborhood so rarely that a lot of good memories started coming back. It's also the same time of year. It's like end of March now, and every time I've been here before was in April for Keith's show. So yeah, a lot of memories started coming back. Really good memories, because I always had a lot of fun when I come to New York just for like a few days for Keith's show. Tons of fun. So it really does make it just feel like a whole different place. A whole different place from where I live. And it's just like fucking cool and nice. And also, I was at Matt Bray's house the other day, his new apartment, recording an interview for a DVD extra for Keith's stand-up DVD. And he has this fucking beautiful place, man. Like, the neighborhood itself kind of sucks balls. It's in Brooklyn. But his apartment is fucking gorgeous. And we went up on his roof, and it's this really nice view. And, now I'm by this huge cemetery by Spooky's house where we recorded Keith and the Girl TV 8, if I remember right. Ask Keith Ledger. So I started thinking, like, you know, maybe New York would have been different if I lived in a different place. Maybe if I lived in a better or a more accessible neighborhood, I would like it better. But now that I'm walking around this neighborhood a little bit, nah. It sucks balls. You know? This place sucks. Ayn's neighborhood sucked. Matt's neighborhood sucks. Spooky's neighborhood sucks. Everyone's neighborhood sucks. This city fucking sucks. And it's weird. That actually kind of cheered me up. I mean, at first I was already cheered up just in the sense that I was like, hey, this is just fun. Remembering all these good times I had out at Spooky's place. And then it's also extra good memories of just knowing, like, hey, but if I did live here, I'd still be miserable. I'm not supposed to be here. This place ain't for me. So in a weird way, it's a weirdly good day.
This is what I'm humble, this is what I'm poor. This is what he anxious to see what's in store. If you ever had a feeling things are going your way, don't you worry, don't you worry, no. Picture yourself in a room with a sunshine and flow, exposing the smoke inside. Picture yourself in a place with a smile on your face. You'll never have to change your mind again. I bet you thought this golden days are over.
So another cool thing is, I've just been saving up all my change for this entire year, and year and 3 months now, I guess? Just been saving it up in a big bowl, and except quarters, because quarters are easy to spend, and good for laundry and stuff. So I've had this building up for a year, but it only filled like a soup bowl. It didn't really seem like that much, you know, a lot of pennies and shit. So I really didn't know what to expect, I didn't know how much was in there, I assumed not very much. Turns out I had $48, man. That's fucking sweet. Although there was a surprising amount of rejected Canadian coins in there. I don't know where the hell those came from. Maybe I had them when I got here. Maybe I just acquired them. I don't know. But yeah, dude, free money. That's fucking awesome. That's a nice chunk of change. You know, since I'm doing so much traveling today, I'm catching up on some of the other, if I may be so presumptuous, I'll call them the ham radio family of podcasts. And am I right in understanding that Adam from Australia got a blowjob in a bathroom? Hypothetically, that's pretty fucking nice. This is nice, though, to be out in the sun in a different neighborhood, just walking around, just having things be a little different for a change. I'm feeling all right. I wish I could go get a coffee, but I'm so far from, like, it's such a long train ride home that I've been dehydrating all day. Man, a coffee goes right through me like I have an overactive bladder or something. So that's too bad, but besides that, I expected there'd be more coffee shops in New York. I think I just got twisted by Vancouver. Vancouver's got way too many of anything. It's like Vancouver, Seattle, to an extent maybe Portland. It seems like the Pacific Northwest is Coffeeville. But yeah, not so many around here. I kind of miss them. I was never the type of person that would just go, like, sit down with a laptop or go there to read a book or whatever. But they're just pleasant. I don't mean so much like Starbucks and stuff. Although, you know, if you gotta use one, it's better than nothing. But like the little indie ones, the little privately run ones. I guess maybe it fits better with the pseudo-hippie mentality of Vancouver. So what got me out here, though, what finally got me to come do the ride all the way out to Spooky's place and get his mail. Yeah, you know, that's one weird thing, talking to Spooky's roommate, not calling him Spooky. Having a whole conversation wherein we just refer to this guy by his normal name. It felt strange. But it's because I had a dream last night that Spooky was asking me if I went to pick up his mail yet. And when my dreams are so scattered, generally, that when I have a dream that actually relates to my normal life, I really figure it's time I do it. It's a pretty good indicator that I've let things slip a little too far. Man, what happened yesterday, holy balls, this was fucked up, is I generally don't sleep through the whole night. I'll, like, sleep for, I don't know, 6 hours or something, and then have a couple of naps throughout the day, and my whole sleep schedule's a mess. So while I was asleep, I had a bunch of dreams about Ian. And then every time I lay down for, I don't know, like, even if it was just like a 40-minute nap, every time for the whole day, I had a dream about Ian. And it's like, holy fuck, brain, what are you doing, man? Are you trying to fucking... Why are you kicking me in the balls? And it's weird when stuff like that happens, because then you get kind of like a sea change, a shift in your mind. Where one reason why, I mean, obviously, that breakup was kind of tough, and I mean, I had some crappy days. But overall, I kind of took it better than I thought I would. Largely because the differences between me and Ian are so pronounced and so different, it really wasn't hard for me to recall those, to bring those up and be like, yeah, okay, there's why this wasn't going to work. And the fact that I'm going back to Canada helped also, because if I was staying in New York, I'd probably, like a dummy, just keep trying to make things work forever, till one of us was dead or something. But since I'm going back to Canada, it's like, okay, well, I'm going back anyway. Let's let sleeping dogs lie. But dude, after a whole day... Dude, a whole day, or every time I close my goddamn eyes, I'm having some kind of weird dream about this girl. It really shifts things around in the head, where everything seemed like I was just lamenting the good times and missing all the fun we had, and when I tried to dial up the bad times, it's really hard to do. But eventually I would, and then that would make me feel better, because that is, I really think, the truth is we're better off not being together. But man, like, come on, brain, fuck you. So that got me thinking of, like, when I first met Ian. I remember this one date we had specifically really early on at Thompson Square Park, where I could just tell she just wasn't that into me, you know? It just wasn't clicking, it wasn't working, it wasn't gonna move in the right direction. But I really, really, like, the cool things about that girl and her positive attributes are so cool, like, so awesome and so unique and so hard to find. Then I was like, man, I gotta do everything I can to try to get to be this girl's boyfriend. I want this to happen so bad. And I think that's a lot of the reason why I kind of pushed my real self down too much and avoided bringing up issues that we disagree about or things that were going to be obvious problems. And I mean, I don't regret it. It fucking worked. We were boyfriend and girlfriend for a while, had a lot of fun times, but it did lead to inevitable crashing destruction. But that made me think of this Julianna Hatfield song, the whole idea of, like, just so desperately wanting to be with somebody. Is this song called As If My Life Depended on It, or As If Your Life Depended on It? And you're going to have to flip the genders around, obviously, because she's a girl, but it's about her meeting this guy and just, like, this is all that matters, is just making this work, is just putting all the focus of your life onto this one thing, onto this one person, onto this one night, this one moment, this one event. This has to work. This guy, or in my case, this girl, has to accept me. I gotta make this happen. And it is such a good fucking song, except for the chorus. It's weird. It's like, this song is like one of the greatest, most perfect songs ever, until the chorus hits, and the chorus is just really bland and just kind of plods through and sucks balls. But besides the chorus, the rest of this, the whole tone, the whole message, so cool and seems so very appropriate to my early romance with that girl.
Time.
You know, Adam plays a lot of John Mayer on his show, and I was wondering, this whole thing where John Mayer is, like, trying to become a stand-up comedian or whatever, moving away from music, I wonder if that's because of that joke on Family Guy with the graffiti that says, "That's enough, John Mayer." I wonder if he saw that and he really took it to heart. All of those guys, like John Mayer, Jason Mraz, Ben Harper, Jack Johnson, I could never get into that whole vibe that much, but it does remind me a lot of good times in Vancouver. The girl I was seeing out there and her brothers were, they were all really into that sort of vibe of stuff. I could never get into it myself, but it reminds me of that time, so that's always kind of nice. I'm going to play another song by that band Pepper. I mean, I don't know, it's one of those bands that, like, I guess it sort of, this, that sort of vibe sort of seems like it fits also. Just the kind of cool, chill, laid back sort of vibe. Except more ska, reggae, simplified rather than the somewhat more complex stylings of those other guys I was mentioning. I don't know, it's weird how much I'm kind of getting into this type of thing. I almost feel like I'm turning into one of those lamos that only listens to, like, 311 and Sublime and gets high and fucking just chills out all the time. But this song is called Are You Down? And this was the whole, like, subway ride here, long-ass subway ride. I was listening to this podcast this guy does. It's called The Life Well Wasted, and it's about video game shit. And it only comes out, like, once a month because it's all well-researched and fancy and put together well. So I was listening to that, but while I was listening to it, in my head, this song was playing pretty much the whole time. And that makes me think how I was listening to an NPR show once that Russell, who was my roommate on the Keith and the Girl cruise, he pointed me toward this show. And it's a shame because NPR has some really interesting topics sometimes, but I just find that stuff unlistenable. Just intolerable, the way they talk, their whole attitude. It just makes me want to fucking punch them in the mouth. I did a little comic strip that's basically just a dude shitting in an NPR woman's mouth. Because I was listening to an interview with James Bobin, the guy that helped put together Flight of the Conchords. And, like, that's interesting, right? I want to hear that, but these fucking idiot NPR people, man, they're just, like, they're the worst. They are the worst. The way they talk, the way they fucking, I hate it. I gotta find a girl who's on board with my hate. Because I remember I mentioned that to Ian once. Like, God, I fucking hate NPR, and she didn't know what I was talking about. I also remember the chick in Vancouver. Like, there's this one, I don't know why I remember this one random memory. There's this poster. There's a lot of Indian Bollywood type movies. Not a lot, but some places to play those in Vancouver. And this poster was like the gayest, faggotiest thing I ever saw. Just like the happy family shot. So queer. Just the worst. And every time I walked by it, I just wanted to go, like, man, that is the gayest. Do you see how, like, wow, look at that. But I never did, because I knew she wouldn't know what the fuck I was talking about, or would not appreciate my vitriol. What the fuck is I talking about? NPR, yeah, yeah. So I listened to this NPR thing about people that, like, this one guy in particular, this old man who got hit in the head or something, woke up in the hospital, and he could hear music. He thought it was playing, like, from across the street. He could hear it clear as day, like it was really there. And was just, like, wondering why it never stopped, why it was always playing all hours of the day. Till finally he dragged himself out of his bed after a day and a half or so, looked at the window, and there's nothing there. And it turns out he got some fucked up thing in his brain where he hears music extremely clearly, like it's really playing, all the time, incessantly. And I think I've got a sort of version of that. Not like that, not like it's just always not, you know, unstoppably, like as a ghetto blaster next to my head or something. But there's just always a song playing in my head, in some capacity, at some volume, at varying levels of completeness. And I just kind of assumed that it was always like that for everybody. But I'm starting to realize that that's not the case. But I think that's one reason why I like music so much, and I like listening to music so much, because there's gonna be something. So I'd rather direct it so that it's something I want to hear instead of just letting whatever randomness play. But this Pepper song was the one that was playing in my head all day, and I didn't find it unpleasant. I found it quite nice. So let's listen to Are You Down by Groovetastic Pepper while I hop back on the train and exit Brooklyn.
gotta stop. You got a reputation for what you're not, and I don't really mind that, mind that. Don't wanna be your man, don't wanna be your daddy. I ain't your boyfriend, I ain't your daddy. You gotta keep it real if you wanna put it on me, on me, on me. So light those candles over me. She never wears her, never wears her Halloween. Oh, you down? Wanna mess around? We'll do it up the ground. We'll let you down. Hey, are you down? Can we mess around? Are you down? Don't let me die, yeah, yeah. So are you down? Are you down?
I'm back in Queens, and that wasn't so bad. It's funny how the ride home is always easier than the ride there, even if it's just an hour-long ride from Brooklyn to Queens, or if it's, you know, fucking a super-duper long ride that takes hours or days. Always seems easier on the way back. So I was at this platform, the one I mentioned, by Spooky's Place, where you can see the Empire State Building. And because I've only been there maybe half a dozen times, and it just brings back memories so vividly of all the other times I've been there, I was thinking how nice it would be if I could just pop back there. You know, if there was some way I could just teleport back to that platform, you know, every couple of years and just be there for a few minutes. And all the memories that would fuel. And then I was thinking, well, I mean, I guess if I was rich, if I was a Donald Trump type fella, I could jump on my fucking personal jet and fly to New York. But that would be weird and somehow would defeat the purpose. I'm thinking if I could literally teleport, you know, just for shit like that. I kind of liked that movie Jumper. It didn't do so well. Or people didn't like it, but I thought it was all right. The only problem is it had no ending. It was really setting up to be a franchise, like a Bourne Identity type thing. It's the same director. So instead of ending, it didn't end at all. It just set up more shit, which was disappointing. But the movie itself was cool. Basically, these guys can teleport anywhere that they've already been. So you jump on a plane and you travel to Paris once, and then you can always go back. Like, in the guy's house, he's just got, like, postcards and pictures of different places around the world, just so he'll have something to focus on. Like, okay, I want to be there. Bam. And it's really fucking cool. There's a lot of neat shit in that movie. Not the greatest movie ever made. I mean, I understand the people's criticisms, but I thought it was neat. There's always kind of that layer of pop culture-y stuff that gets no respect and maybe doesn't deserve respect, but it's just kind of fun. Like, me and my friend Matt were talking once about how if you had a Keanu Reeves film festival, you just grabbed six random Keanu Reeves movies, you're probably going to have a pretty fun time. Guy's not a great actor, doesn't make great movies, but he doesn't make terrible movies. Most of his movies are kind of cool in one way or another. Anyway, this warping to places then made me think of virtual places. That A Life Well Wasted podcast I mentioned got into this. There's this guy who's a curator for some university, and he's trying to set up a video game collection. But the way video games are now, virtual worlds, it's not enough to just have the software. It's not going to mean anything, even if you've got the right system and the right setup to load up World of Warcraft. It's going to be empty. There's no one there. If you're 200 years in the future and you're trying to get a beat on what this meant, that doesn't mean very much. So, how do you explain what was going on? So they try to archive videos and things like speedruns in Doom to try to explain, or in Quake, what this is, what this was, what it really meant, what, you know, social behaviors and interactions within a virtual world meant. And it's a hell of a task, man. Good luck to you. It's going to be a lot of work. Party down, motherfuckers. On the road street. Queen Street Party, yo. That's actually just a dude in his car. That's a Queen Street Party. It's a guy in his car with his windows rolled down, banging the bass. So between being on that platform and thinking of this virtual world guy, that got me thinking of like how me and my cousin Dan used to play Quake all the time. Deathmatch Quake. Usually just one-on-one. We had these maps called PDMs. DM is Deathmatch, so the normal DM maps came with the game, but we got these ones called PDM that we liked. And some of those maps I knew so well that just from sound, you know, we could just listen for one another because it was just me and him, cat and mouse. And hear, like, okay, there's the part with the water. When he steps in the water, I can hear that. I know he's around that corner. It was ludicrous how well we knew that shit. It's getting a little windy. But we spent so much time there that even though that was just a virtual place, that feels like a place where I was, you know? Like, when I think of that, I don't think of sitting at my computer in my parents' living room with my cousin, because we had all the computers in the same room back then. I think of those deathmatch levels. Like, those were a place that I have been. When I think back, it's like I've been there. Especially in hindsight, you know, when the sort of rough graphics, we didn't have 3D effects cards or anything back then, just give way to memory of just how you think that this was, you know, how real it seemed. And I'd kind of like to go back there, but I know I can't, really. Even if we loaded up the old deathmatches again, it wouldn't be the same. I'm not really sure what my point is, just something I was thinking about. But I'm getting a lot more interested in video games in general lately. Not actual video games. I really don't play games anymore. Hardly ever. Like, I know when I get home, I'm going to play through Grand Theft Auto 4, but it just feels like it's going to be a bit of a chore already, you know? Even before I do it. Maybe I won't bother finishing it, but that's the point, is it just feels like a waste of time, like a waste of my life. But video game theory I've been getting way more into lately. Listen to that shit. How can anyone think that's good? I fucking hate music like that, man. That is the worst. What is that shit? I guess you gotta grow up with it. I don't know. Yeah, so I always used to listen to podcasts about retro video gaming, and that's more of just a nostalgia thing. I just like remembering the shit that I played as a kid. But I've been listening to a lot lately of just stuff about the video game industry. Yeah, so I've been getting a lot more interested in video games and where they're going, the potential of them. I really think there's going to be some crazy shit going down within my lifetime. I mean, it's already fairly fucking insane how much they've changed since I was a kid. It's sort of mind-boggling. but I avoid them myself because I fear them. I really just, your life just gets sucked away. You're just wasting your life for nothing. I remember this girl, Cora, I knew back in my hometown. She started playing Final Fantasy X, and it was like the first time she'd ever really played a video game. And she was saying how hooked it got her, you know, like how clear it is that this is artificial achievement, but how good you feel when you go up a level, you know, as opposed to paying your bills and shit. It's like, who gives a fuck? Or even, she's a songwriter, you know, you obviously you get longer, more lasting rewards from writing a song, but you just play Final Fantasy X for a while and you achieve shit and you feel good. And yeah, I don't mind not having video games at hand because I got tired of that. And it is a legitimate trap. The most obvious example, I think, are those massively multiplayer online role-playing games like, you know, EverQuest and World of Warcraft. My cousin Dan played World of Warcraft like a fucking maniac, you know, like he just never stopped. It was ridiculous. I did a little comic strip about that, you know, they need to make a government-sanctioned social engineering version where you pay your child support or you clean your bathtub and you get experience, like you do real things in the real world in order to advance in this game. I almost think that might work, like that would trick people. You want to get the big, cool, awesome sword? You got to do something legitimate with your life. So I was listening to, I don't know the guy's name, but I found a link to like a speech, a presentation this guy gave about game design. And it was really cool because it brought up some of these points that I was thinking about myself. He was bringing up examples like how in Portal, you feel good when you achieve stuff because you've understood the physics engine and you've solved the puzzle and you figured out how to use the resources you've been given to solve a problem, and you feel good, you feel a sense of accomplishment. Whereas games like World of Warcraft, tons of bells and whistles and ding ding ding, hey look what you just did, you know, they're always patting you on the back, but for essentially doing nothing, for just pressing some buttons, it's totally artificial achievement, because the longer you play, you go up levels, you get better items, you get stronger. But then you need stronger bad guys to fight. And everything essentially stays in stasis. Everything raises at the same level, or at the same rate. And you don't actually need to be good, you just need to put in the time. And you can put in the time forever, but it's artificial achievement. Whereas Portal is arguably, if not real achievement, more real achievement. It's a more legitimate achievement to solve those puzzles. And that's why it doesn't need to give you a ding, 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 bell and whistle. Your brain makes you feel like you've accomplished something because you have. So he used the analogy of grinding it out in one of these fucking, you know, online role-playing games. It's like junk food at the least, and like drugs at the worst, you know, like where instead of something nourishing you like food, it's like a drug. It sets off that feeling of achievement that... It's not like video games invented the idea of the empty achievement. I mean, slot machines and fucking lottery tickets are the same shit. That's why people do that stuff. Makes them feel good for really doing nothing. Bells and whistles, bright lights. And Warcraft, I mean, already has like 7 million players, maybe more. That shit's only going to get bigger. Video games in general, they're just going to get more pervasive. I mean, you already see with like cell phone games and the Nintendo Wii, like all of these new avenues, video games are permeating and they're going to just more and more. So it's like making a game like Warcraft is actually, it's like you're doing a disservice to people. You're not valuing their time or their life. You're like a fucking drug pusher, you know? And that's kind of an extreme tack to take, but I'm fucking with them. I like that. That makes sense to me. So, that's some random video game talking. Let's finish off with a song. This is a Nine Inch Nails song from the Fragile era called 10 Miles High. And I'm going to do a very simple remix where this song starts out quiet and then gets loud. No, it starts loud and gets quiet, I mean. I'm just going to shuffle it around so that now it starts quiet and gets loud at the end. And I think it's way cooler that way. Thanks for joining me yet again. You know I love you all deeply, though we may never meet, and I may never ever lick your penis or vagina. But know that the love is there. Nevertheless. No.